Welcome to Gallifrey Public Radio, where we discuss everything in the Hooniverse. Join us each week as we bring you news, rumor, and recap. And now your hosts, Jay Witten. You win this one, internets! And Melissa Mazza.
We were playing fast and loose with the term.
Spoilers.
We will be discussing episodes that have already aired, as well as news that's public knowledge. But don't worry, if we get into anything too serious, we'll warn you again. Have something you want to say? You can email us at gallifreypublicradio@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at Gallifrey Radio, or leave a comment on each episode at gallifreypublicradio.podbean.com. New Who is fast approaching, and we take a look at the trailer for the Christmas special, The Snowmen, and start our commentary series with Asylum of the Daleks.
Hello, and welcome to Gallifrey Public Radio, this week with Jay and Melissa. Jay, good to talk to you again this week. How have you been?
Doing pretty good. Just gearing up for Thanksgiving and looking forward to our commentary tonight.
Yeah, I was very excited that the Christmas special is so close that, you know, we're going to have new Doctor Who content very soon. Yes. That we can watch the whole, all the episodes that they've given us so far of Series 7 mm-hmm. up until then and have plenty to talk about because it is really closer than I thought.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the reason why we're doing this is so that we can lead up, watch one episode per week up until the Christmas special. So as of right now, we are, what, exactly 5 weeks from Christmas? So it's a little terrifying in and of itself, but But part of the bonus of being so close to Christmas is the fact that we got the trailer for the Christmas special. Yay!
Yes. Oh my God. So, as I said, new Who content. It's like.
Yeah. So we got the Children in Need special was this past weekend, and part of that was the prologue. They call it the prequel, but it's the prologue to the Christmas special, which was The Great Detective. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time we've seen the Doctor since Amy and Rory were taken.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Doctor's in a very dark place at this point. We see Madame Vastra, Jenny, and Strax. I love seeing Strax again. He's awesome. So we see the three of them coming up with all different kinds of ways, trying to get the Doctor back involved. They're like, you know, he needs something to do. And so they're coming up with all kinds of random stuff. And, you know, he tells him, he's like, you know, what are you doing? I've told you I'm retired. I'm not doing this anymore. And, you know, he just seems very grumpy and he's Scrooge. That's basically what it is here.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting seeing that he's clearly not taking the events very well.
Yeah, I think this is confirmation that we're going to be looking at a darker Doctor mm-hmm. coming up. But yeah, no, I think it was great to see, like you said, Strax again, the nurse, Santarin. And, you know, just some characters that we've known and loved. So I think this is going to be a really fun Christmas special. Madame Vastra, whatever, but the point is that this is Victorian London,
mm-hmm.
which I believe now, so there was the prequel, and then there was also a trailer that came out this week, correct?
Yes, the trailer was later on in the special, yeah.
Yeah, so I think the trailer actually gave away, like, this little prequel is a scene in and of itself.
Right.
And it was really great, and it introduces a darker Doctor. It brings back all these great villains from the past, or whatever.
And it brings back talks about the great plot point that is the War on the Moon. Or is that not the major thing this next 2 months? that would be awesome.
Yeah, you make a good point. I love
Yeah, so clearly Stephen Moffat has been reading some old Calvin and Hobbes comics with the snowmen here.
Oh, okay. Is that a Calvin and Hobbes thing?
That's probably not what it is, but I mean, I couldn't, as soon as I saw it, the first thing I thought of was all the old Calvin and Hobbes strips with the snow minions, like, you know, always in horrible poses and things, and it was so great, and it, I see what he's trying to do. He's trying to take another mundane item and make it scary, but I think snowmen might be a bridge too far.
Yeah, no, I don't remember that in Calvin and Hobbes. That's funny. it reminded me of actually an old episode of The Simpsons where Homer and Mr. Burns are trapped in the under the ice, and like they make like an army of snowmen each and are hallucinating. That was where my mind went.
Yeah, so, but we do get to see Clara in action. We get to see her and the Doctor interacting. And, I mean, it just, I've said it repeatedly before, but I cannot wait to see this. I cannot wait to see Clara and the Doctor together because, I mean, they just look so fantastic. There's a definite chemistry between the two of them. And on either side of both of these clips, you see Matt Smith and Jenna Louise Coleman, you know, talking about them, and you can tell that there is chemistry between the two of them. They get along, and they can, you know, it looks fantastic. It's very reminiscent of Matt Smith and Karen Gillan when they first started in Series 5.
Mm-hmm.
That camaraderie that they had was just really evident, and you can see that with these two as well.
Yeah, I think you can definitely see the chemistry, and Matt Smith and Karen Gillan had the camaraderie up until the end. So what do you think about that? How, Jenna Louise Coleman, so they have them introducing the clip and whatever, the actors introducing the characters.
Yes, and they kind of poke fun at like, you know, well, you were in this episode, but you died. Yeah, I did. It kind of stinks.
Right.
It's like, yeah, so you couldn't possibly be the same character. No, there's no way that could happen.
Yes, and this
clip. It was that momentary pause where they both kind of like look at each other and look at the camera, and it's like, oh, okay, so they're just basically beating us over the head with the fact that they've got something going on here.
Yeah, I was like, thank God they're addressing it right off the bat, like, you know. So it actually kind of confirms my earlier theory that it is two different characters, at least for now, and that they're not going to address it. I think that they might be saving this for next season. Like, we're going to get into the second half of Series 7, but I think they might save this for Series 8, honestly.
I think Moffat has actually come out and said that he's going to address it in Series 7. It will come up.
Oh, he has. Okay, well.
It's not going to be in the Christmas special. I'll tell you that right off
the bat.
They're going to stretch it out some, but I mean, there'll probably be a few episodes, and they'll drop little hints where, you know, it'll probably be like they're on the TARDIS, and she's like, well, I'm going to go make a souffle, and you see kind of like the Doctor like, what? You know, because think about it, he's never seen Clara. He never saw Oswin. He heard her voice. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's not going to recognize her on sight. It's going to take little things like that are going to make it click before he puts it together.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested to see. I mean, they're definitely going to play with it. They're going to drag out the suspense. But according to Stephen Moffat, they are going to address it this season.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I accept that. That's awesome. We're talking about in the clip itself, Clara seems to be a Victorian person.
Yes.
Do you think that's what they're showing?
It's hard to tell because, you know, she's there. She's talking to children. You know, she's telling them bedtime stories. She definitely seems to fit. But I don't know. It's just maybe because I know that she's going to be the companion, maybe because I've seen her in modern day clothing or seen her in Asylum of the Daleks. It's just, I'm like, yes, she fits, but she doesn't really fit. So I'm not sure how it's going to play out. I'll be interested to see, but it's, I don't know. It's going to be a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, that was pretty much all that really happened this week. I mean, all the buzz was around that. There really wasn't too much else that happened.
Yeah, I saw no news. I have been watching, though, John Barrowman on Attack of the Show. Have you been watching that?
No, I haven't. I don't have G4. I have, however, been watching him on Arrow.
Oh, okay. I have not watched Arrow. Is it good? Someone on Facebook said it's his new favorite show.
Yeah, it's really good. It kind of takes Batman Begins, like that kind of realistic take on superheroes, and puts it into a TV show. It's not as believable as Batman was, which seems strange now that I'm saying it out loud, but it's that kind of take on it where it's like, hey, here's a guy that just got some kick-ass training and he's going out and, you know, cleaning up the city. You know, no special powers, no science-y, no, you know, hand-waving, nothing. He's just, there he is. And, you know, it's become my wife's favorite show because at least once per episode, he takes his shirt off and they show him training. And it's just like, really? Really? But, yeah, so, but John Barrowman, has a small part in the show. I've only seen him on two episodes so far, I think. I don't know. I've kind of been catching up on it, so I'm trying to keep it straight. But he's got a small part, but he plays it wonderfully. He's I don't want to get too much into spoiler territory, but he is not Jack Harkness, but he's still John Barrowman. So there's only so much that you can separate him. I'm seeing him, I'm like, man, I really shouldn't like you, but you're awesome.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to start watching that. I've heard a lot of people actually like that show, and like I said, I'm trying to support John Barrowman, so.
Yeah,
I'm always looking for good TV to start watching, because movies are one thing, and like, you can become obsessed with a movie for a little while, but like, I like TV shows where like, it develops over time, and I'm able to like, stay enthralled for months at a time, you know, so I might give it a go.
Yeah, so it's one of my new shows to watch until Doctor Who returns regularly, which I'll probably still watch it during that. But yeah, it's pretty good. The other one I started watching was Once Upon a Time, which is like a fantasy fairy tale kind of thing, like fairy tales in the real world.
Yeah, I've been watching Once Upon a Time too. I'm pissed though because it's currently, like, as we record this, it's on live now, I guess. I don't think it's gone into hiatus yet.
No, so, they took 1 week off this week for the American Music Awards because, you know, people care about music apparently. I don't know. I was pissed my show wasn't on. Yeah, I finally, like, I found it on Netflix and I watched the first season. I was like, dang it. So then I went to Hulu and I started watching it on there, and then I finally caught up. I was like, oh. And, you know, the first thing that popped into my mind was I heard Matt Smith, is this how time always passes? Really slowly and in the right order? It was just, I had a very, very doctor moment there.
I haven't seen the new season, though, the one that's currently on. I have only seen what's up on Netflix, which only was...
Yeah, so you've only seen to the end of season one. Oh man, it gets crazy. I'll just tell you that. I'm not gonna spoil it, but man, it some stuff goes down.
I guess it'll go on Netflix and I'll just be late. As always, watch the episodes later. But no, I actually got into Once Upon a Time because of the Lost connection. This is Kitson and Horowitz produced. A lot of the same writers from Lost, a lot of the same actors.
I was actually going to bring it up to you because I've noticed a couple actors that were in there, and it's, you can tell there's a strong thread between the two of them, or not, similarities in the way that the story is done and all the questions and stuff, and oh man, it just, apparently not as convoluted as Lost, but still it has that feel to where you get to the end of the episode and you're like, oh, well, I can't stop right now.
Yeah.
that was the problem. It's a gateway drug.
But. Yeah. Yeah, they're geniuses at that. Did you watch Lost? Were you?
No. I tried sitting down and watching it at some point in the second season, and I was like, yeah, this is the most aptly named show because I have absolutely no idea what's going on. So I never.
I'm picturing you sit down, sit right back up, clean, wash your hands of it.
It was like, I think I watched about 3 minutes, like, I have no idea what the hell's going on. I just, never mind. So, anyway.
Well, I think that was really the losses. To this day, the best storytelling on TV that I've ever seen. And
I would counter that with Children of Earth.
I love Children of Earth. And I watched, oh my God, so this is the mindset that you're catching me in today, that I watched Children of Earth yesterday.
Oh.
And like the very last.
Oh.
Day five. Like, you know, it just colors your whole day.
I watched it. Jeez, months ago, and to this day, I still have a hard time watching some of the the darker, gritty stuff on TV. I'm like, yeah, I'm just not in the right frame of mind for this right now. It just, man, it, seriously, if you haven't watched Children of Earth, go watch it. I mean, it is fantastic storytelling, fantastic TV. Not like it's going to go down as a great work of fiction. It's going to go down as a real, you know, like, this is how stuff would really go down if this stuff happened. And that is the most terrifying part. Like, they nailed that. It's like, I can see this being the exact chain of events if this ever happened. And that is what is so terrifying about it. So yeah, go watch it. Make sure you've got, like, you know, the suicide helpline on speed dial or something, just in case. It's good.
But it'll never compare to Lost in terms of story.
They're two very, very different schools of storytelling. But yeah, I just like I'll have to defer to your judgment on that because I never watched it. So,
but to go back to the original point, Once Upon a Time is the same kind of thing in where they're telling different stories simultaneously, and whereas Lost had like a flashback in the middle of the main story, Once Upon a Time has like a flashback to the fairy tale world or whatever. So it's like nonlinear storytelling, interspersing stories, and you know.
Yeah.
I like stuff like that.
Yeah, it's very interesting and it's very captivating. It's a show. If you are into that kind of stuff, go ahead and watch it. I mean, some of their takes on characters are great. You know, seeing Snow White as, you know, this just completely kick-ass chick is, you know, it's cool seeing that instead of the Disney version of sit there in the tower and wait to be rescued kind of thing. So it is a good show. If you're into fantasy, this is something you need to sit down and at least try. But I think it's about time that we actually get back to the show that we're supposed to be talking about.
Yeah. All right. So we have today. Okay. So I apologize for the fly by night nature of this. I have to do everything kind of ghetto. So I still have Asylum of the Daleks DVR'd on my television. So we're going to be watching today Asylum of the Daleks, which was episode 1 of series 7 of Doctor Who. And just kind of talking about it as we go. I guess we'll just kind of wing it and figure out what kind of things we like talking about. The reason that I think it's so ghetto is that I still have commercials and stuff, so I'm going to have to fast forward through them, so it's not going to sync up entirely. So I think, you know, in a minute we're going to sync up, so if anyone is listening to this podcast and wants to sync up their copy of Asylum of the Daleks, they should start getting ready now.
Yeah. All right, and hopefully I can edit it together enough to it shouldn't matter, but we'll see. I might just be lazy this week because it is Thanksgiving and I don't feel like doing much, so.
Yeah, no one's going to care.
All right, so if you have your copy of Asylum of the Daleks ready, go ahead and get your finger on the button, and we will start it in 3, 2, 1, go. So this is actually the first time that I know of that we've seen Skaro. I think they've showed it in the classic series, but I can't help but wonder if that a giant Dalek there is a weeping angel.
Holy.
Can you imagine
that? I never thought of that.
Somebody brought that up after the Angels Take Manhattan, and I was like, oh, that's just terrifying. This is you get so much more if you've seen the prequel to this out of this scene here. I remember the first time I watched it was just kind of like, what the hell's going on? You know, I mean, I just went with it, but if you've seen the prequel, you get so much more out of it.
I forget, but I remember that the prequel was more of this woman that summoned him.
Yeah, well, it was actually one of the headless monks, I believe. It wasn't her at all.
Well, she's not even real anyway, right?
Yeah. Well, this makes for riveting radio right here.
All right, so now this lady is turning into a Dalek.
Yeah, now we get the things start picking up here.
Yeah. This is the first time we've ever really seen... This is the episode that they said was going to make Daleks scary again.
Yes, and I mean, it really worked. The Daleks are a menace, a menacing force now. I mean, they've kind of been castrated a little bit for... Yeah, because they don't remember the Doctor, but... We haven't seen them since, so it might make them even more terrifying. Who knows?
Yeah. Now here's Amy doing her modeling.
Mm-hmm.
When I do my modeling, I'm like, I'm just like Amy Pond. Oh, but this is one of the most heartbreaking scenes.
Yeah, and...
She signs it Amy Williams.
Yeah, can you imagine... I mean, we both had seen the Pond Life, so we knew that they weren't together anymore. But can you imagine walking into this cold?
Yeah.
And there's the flickering light. I'm really expecting more to come from that, and I don't know if they are going to string it together or not.
I think they're being really heavy-handed with those lights.
In a couple of them, like in this one especially, yes. And in A Town Called Mercy, you know, it shows up, but you kind of expect that because of the nature of the electricity and stuff, but...
I think I'm a couple seconds behind you.
Actually, you're a couple seconds before me.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
I won't skip it away.
Hopefully it'll sync up when you get to the commercials, but... I love this line, that how much trouble are we in? Out of 10? 11. Like, how did they not use this before now?
We said this when it came out. Like, how have they not said this line?
I remember this was terrifying the first time I saw it. When he first gets to the parliament.
Yeah. This is every single kind of Dalek we've ever seen.
You know, they say that, and I'm sure they are in there, but you know, you look at it and it's like 99% of the Daleks out there are the bronze RTD era Dalek.
Yeah,
like,
so...
I want to see more of the classic stuff, you know? Show me all the Daleks, not, you know, one or two. And I understand that most of them either don't exist anymore or were in such bad shape they couldn't really use them prominently, but...
They could recreate them, though.
Yeah.
Picturing, like, you don't watch Community, do you? The Blorgons, they're like garbage cans.
And there's the Doctor's Why Am I Not Dead Yet face. If you...
Yeah, he has no eyebrows anymore.
Well, if you go back and watch, which one is it? Where he gets shot by, or when River refuses to shoot him in Series 6, he does that same face where he's like, his face is all scrunched up and he kind of peeks out of one eye like, why am I not dead?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. As I said, I'm on my laptop. Okay, so, yes, we've made it to... This is now the Daleks need his help.
Yeah, you're going to have to let me know when you get to commercials.
No, I'm still on the theme song, which actually, now that we've watched a few episodes of Older Who, this is really reassuring. It's the same theme,
yeah,
always.
Same music. I mean, it's the exact same music throughout. Well, they revamp it and things like that and make it sound different. I like how the titles and stuff fade in now instead of sweeping in from the side.
Okay, yeah. All right, so now I'm on
Oswin
with our souffles. Playing the habanero from Carmen.
Yes. I wish that they would include more classical music. Yeah, it's great having that as a soundtrack in the background.
Yeah, this is terrifying.
Yeah, honestly, I think this is the part that really helps to make the Daleks scary again, is giving it someone who doesn't have the Doctor there to help. Yeah, it's like, how would you feel if you were stuck with the Daleks trying to break into your ship? Mm-hmm. Yeah, seeing her just, like, plug her ears.
All right, so now we're back to the Doctor and Amy Moran.
I love this monologue where she's just breaking down exactly what he's doing.
As he straightens his bow tie. Yeah.
My 10-year-old kept asking me, he's like, why does the Doctor wear a watch? Like, you know, that has got to be one of the most frustrating things for him, is constantly setting his watch.
Yo, good on your kid for recognizing that.
Yeah. And that part just drives me nuts. The, you know, having her, like, have all of the memories of this woman and yet not care. It's like,
man. Yeah, this is creepy. This does make Daleks scary again, that they could do that to a human being.
Yeah. That is one ugly squid.
Never made any sense. Why not? Yeah, they're the gooey center and the hard candy shell of the Dalek.
Yeah. I mean, I love the how this is all just, you know, so very. Do they vote for the Prime Minister? I mean, how do Dalek elections go? You know.
Yeah, and they have, like, a Roman-style Senate that they meet in.
Yeah. Well, you know, if it works. It's like, he reminds me of what is it, Zordon from the Power Rangers when he's in that tube like that. They're going to fire him at a planet.
I thought this was Skaro when I first watched it. Now that I see it, it's like some asylum planet, right?
Yeah, no, they were on Skaro at the beginning. That's where the Doctor met
the job.
Yeah. Still bothers me. Why can't the missiles get in, but the ship could? I demand answers, Moffat. Fill your plot holes.
Calling him out.
Still love that line from Rory. What color? All the good questions were taken. That's me. And, yeah, I mean, they make reference to him playing classical music in this one and in the next one, and then it just drops. It's like, man.
Yeah, we thought we were on to something.
Yeah, really. Yes, the Daleks. Oh, I love
that. Junior Entertainment Manager of Starship Alaska.
Mm. entertainment manager? I mean, what kind of job is that?
Didn't do anything.
Was it a cruise ship?
I think that's what they're implying.
She was a cruise director. Wow. That's kind of... Souffles. And there's the first little bit of foreshadowing. Where do you make it the milk?
Yeah, we didn't... I didn't know where they were going with that milk.
And I mean, if you look at his face now that we know, if you look at his face when he asks that, he's got it figured out right there. He's like, that's not right. You can't possibly. There's something more going on here.
Because she's saying, are you real? He's starting to think, are you real?
Yeah.
And it's here that he's like, milk.
Yeah, exactly. It's just kind of interesting going back and watching it now that you know all the turns. You pick up on a lot more.
Yeah, I think I've only watched this once before this.
Yeah, you're definitely a couple seconds ahead of me, but be all right.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I expected mine to catch up quicker, or start up quicker, I should say.
We will figure it out during the commercials.
Yeah. They're gonna fire you at Planet. Yeah, how many names do the Daleks have for the Doctor? You know, the Predator, the Oncoming Storm, like, how many things are they going to call him?
Yeah, they are totally feeding his ego, too. He's like, the Predator, me, yeah, right, like, they call you all these things.
Yeah. Well, it is kind of your MO.
All right, so I don't know where you're at, but Amy said Geronimo. And
now they're going.
Yep.
Yeah, you're not too far ahead of me, but and Rory's upside down. And I like how, you know, Amy shows concern for him as they're falling. She sees him going down, heads up or heads down, and she's concerned about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of showing chinks in their whole argument there.
Yeah, little things.
And this was actually shot in Spain when they were shooting a town called Mercy. They actually went up to the mountains to shoot these outdoor scenes as well. Go ahead and knock them all out in one punch, I guess. And this is not what I pictured Spain looking like. I guess, hey, why not?
Yeah, there's definitely mountains in Spain, so that's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, they give you all kinds of things to figure out what's going on. You just don't. Yeah, because you had Oswin mention the Alaska, that she'd been there for a year, and he was... You know, he had that drill that had Alaska on it. Dalek eye stalk that she's spying with. Which they explain away, but still...
They explain it all. It's just they're definitely giving us clues now, and you just don't want to know, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so someone pointed out online that the Doctor, like, loses his eyebrows in this season. And it's true. Yeah. Do you see him lying in the snow with no eyebrows?
Yeah, he's like, they're there. They're just very bleached or something. I don't
know. Did he dye them or something?
He's trying to look like the Mona Lisa or something, I guess. Yeah. She has an easy time hacking the Dalek technology. I mean, you know, the Doctor can't hack Dalek technology, and yet she's like, it's very easy to hack. It's like, no. Should have figured it out.
Yeah. She's a genius.
Yeah, I mean, that viewport in her room is clearly a Dalek eye stalk. I mean, there's no two ways about it.
Yeah, looking at it now, it's like, how could we not have seen that? That she is completely operating that, that she is, you know, who knows what. Like, it's just so dreamlike when they show her these different camera angles and everything.
Yeah. You know, you don't really think about it at the time, but this is actually Rory's first encounter with Daleks. He's never seen Daleks before.
Is it really?
Well, they were there at the Pandorica, but I don't think Rory interacted with them. Mm. I mean, they were very... Well, I don't know, they were there, I guess, but he never really had to confront them. It was... just they were there in the periphery, I guess, but
interesting. So he might know about them, like, you know, the doctor might have told him about them.
Yeah, but... I'm sure he knows about them, but he's never really had to face one. They've just, you know, River blew one up and the doctor got shot by one, didn't he?
All right, so we're back from my commercial. Hopefully that's not too bad for anyone. Souffle girl.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all these are pieces you can, you know, the doctor's figuring it out.
Yeah, he said she's been here over a year. You can just see it starting. So. Guys. Oh my god, this is terrifying.
Zombies! Zombie Daleks! Yeah, I mean, this was a little bit... I was like, wow, that's kind of creepy right there. It's... That kind of bothered me when the head flopped back and forth like that. I'm like, you know, there's still enough tissue there that rigor mortis would still have it kind of stiff, wouldn't it? Yeah, it's
good to see you have good forensic complaints. And here we go.
Every time I see one of those eye stalks pop out, I'm kind of like, you know, start instinctively rubbing my forehead.
At Comic-Con, they sold flashlights that have, like, an eye stalk. It's just so cool because it's, like, subtle because it just looks like a flashlight, and then you look at it and you're like, oh, it's a Dalek.
Nice. And Amy figures it out.
Living or dead.
Yep. It's good to see that Amy still pays attention. She can still catch something that the doctor misses. Action hero, doctor.
His solution is just start kicking them.
Hey, why not? Yeah, they really missed something here. Yeah, it's like, if you look back on it, like, is it bad that I've really missed this? So look at what Amy has been through. Like, she's been almost turned into a weeping angel. Now she's being almost turned into a Dalek. Like, yeah, how many different conversions can one person go through?
Yeah, this is why Amy had to go. new companions, a trial is on.
Yeah. I love that he's flirting with her.
We've got to reach a floor level. There could be a way out. See you later. makes me wonder what his relationship with Clara is going to be like. You know, are they going to be flirty like this? Or?
I don't know. I mean, that's one thing that bothers me about the whole thing with River is, like, it killed kind of every... it just seems wrong that he flirts with someone else now, and it's like, I don't know.
Honestly, though, he's seen River now through her whole life, like, to her death. So, I don't know, like, if it ever, like, you know, if it ever counts as cheating, or if it always counts as cheating.
We just got a tweet from Stranded Dalek saying, tweet about the almighty Daleks, tweet, obey. You would have think she'd noticed that missing before now, though.
Alright, Amy is officially becoming a Dalek. Oh my god, this infrared looking thing of the zombie Dalek is the scariest thing we've ever seen on this show.
Yeah, that was kind of a horrifying image. And we're already back with the Daleks. Watch where you're stepping.
One of the funniest / creepiest scenes of the season.
Yeah. Now a little bit of nitpickiness here. If you look at the dome light on this Dalek, it goes away and then comes back and then goes away and then comes back.
Alright, let's see.
Now see, right here, I seriously thought, like, okay, so the head's just kind of like spring-loaded, right?
I wonder why they would have to switch that out between takes.
Somebody knocked it off, who knows? And here's where it gets scary.
What?
What?
Sorry, what? Eggs. You mean those things? I don't know what you want. Those things are those things eggs?
I love that he thinks that's an egg. It's just, it's great. You know, it's like so completely naive. And he realizes what's going on. Bounce, bounce, bounce. And action hero Rory.
<action hero.
laughs> Duck and weave, duck and weave. Just adding more to the awesomeness that is Rory Williams.
Rory.
Lovely name, Rory. What's
that? Rory. As funny as that was, it always just kind of bothered me. I was like, no, that's Amy's man. Back off.
I just think she's, like, sexually frustrated and flirts with everyone. The dogs are Rory.
Yeah. See, I wondered at first if, like, the doctor had just been telling her this, like, if he hadn't actually told her four times, and he was just saying that to scare her so that he could give her, like, get her and Rory to talk about it later or something. Yeah. Because that would be very him thinking.
I remember you saying that the first, that would be very the Doctor.
If it's a straight choice, I'm free. This part always kind of tripped me out too, when Amy starts hallucinating about the Daleks.
Yeah.
See, again, that bothers me. Why is there a door that opens that way? Daleks can't open it that way.
Oh.
See, I mean, you really get a taste for Jenna Louise Coleman there.
Yeah. And here we have Amy hallucinating.
And she is just all kinds of high right now. See, this confused me. I was like, you know, are all these Daleks, like, converted people?
I think so. I think that's what they're getting at. Possibly. I mean,
or maybe
it doesn't necessarily mean that they're these people.
Is that what's her name's daughter? And that she's got the red hair. She looks like her from the angle that we can see anyway, but it's like...
I think it might just... Yeah, Hannah or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think it might just represent a young Amy, you know? Eh.
It's like it seems like there's a lot that could be buried in here that we're just not privy to.
Yeah, I hope that they kind of address that. It would be awesome if these things kind of played out and Hannah was Amy and this woman was Amy, you know, like if they could do something really cool with it.
That would be kind of interesting, but I don't know.
I don't think we ever will.
I like that Amy knows that. Like, was she just seeing it shake, or is she, like, already connected to them? Yeah. I love his solution here, too. The Predator. Again, I wish they would just stick with one name and go with it, you know?
Yeah. Predator is a lot shorter than...
The Oncoming Storm, yeah. That's great. Boom!
Good job, bomb it all.
You know, what kind of name is Oswin Oswald, anyway?
Yeah, that's fake. Gotta mean something.
Yeah. And here's the promo shot. I remember when this shot was first released, everybody thought, oh my god, Amy's not supposed to die in the first episode.
She slapped Rory. Are we synced up?
Yeah, I think we are. Fairly close.
since you seem a bit too angry to you.
Well, somebody's never been to Scotland.
I love Scottish people.
Yeah.
Love Amy Pond.
Did the doctor already have the wristband on her at this point? And he goes back to that again. Get the milk. It's like he's already got it completely figured out at this point. But then he still seems kind of shocked when he sees her, though.
Yeah, I mean, knowing that she's not...
He knows, like, there's something serious going on. I guess he just didn't... Yeah, he just didn't ever think that was an actual possibility. And fix Amy and Rory's marriage. Yeah, that's it. The asylum has forced jobs. As soon as I do, they'll burn this whole world around me. So, often, my question is this: how fast can you drop the force field?
Pretty fast. But why would I?
Because this is a better point in my mind as well.
Yeah, it's not exactly.
I can boost the power. I want to take it down.
They can use this to beat themselves off the planet.
Yeah. I love that he's got it, that he gets it set so that it puts him right in the TARDIS. Oh, sorry, spoilers, just in case.
It bothers me. He always knows exactly how to do it.
Mm. Well, he says he's good with teleporters. As soon as you come and get me. I'd like to see what happens if she actually did try and leave. Because according to her brain, she can get out of her ship. She just chooses not to because the Daleks are out there.
Right. They're subtracting love. He's blatantly trying to get her back together before.
Yeah, exactly. It's like he's clearly got them figured out already. I think he had that.
He's very good at having married companions. Like,
I think he had them figured out. I think he had that whole plan figured out before they even went down the ladder.
Yeah.
That's why he was having her talk to him about it.
Yeah, I could see that. I'm going to be logical. Cold and
logical. Okay? I hate this part when they talk about not being able to have kids anymore.
Yeah, it's a little too expositional, laboratory, whatever the word is.
Kind of,
they're telling, not showing.
Yeah. It bothers me that, I don't know, just as a parent, I'm like, yeah, that just hits too close to home, I don't know.
Amy, basic fact of our relationship is that I love you more than
she loves me. I still feel like this whole part here was rushed.
2,000 years.
I mean, especially if you didn't see Pond's life, it's like, you know, this has been, you know, you've run the whole course of their separation, divorce, and all that stuff in about 30 minutes.
Yeah, but yeah. It would have worked better if they had got broken up at the end of last season.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
It does feel rushed. And then by the end, they're back together in 5 seconds, and then the rest of the episodes are together.
Yeah, no more hiccups ever. They're great. They're perfect. And, I mean, granted, they do have large gaps of time in between episodes and stuff, but it's still, it's just like... I do kind of like that, you know, that Rory acknowledged what he did, and he's like, you know, just admit something, you know, like say thank you or something, and she's like, screw you. It's the first time you ever see the two of them actually, like, talk about what he did for her.
Yeah, I like when they actually acknowledge the stuff that we all know.
Mm-hmm. And he straightens his bow tie. See, that's something I think I missed the first time. She said...
All right, wait. I'm up at a commercial. Okay. Chris Hardwick, celebrity nerd. All right, I'm going to fast forward. So we continue what you were saying. And just pause your thing.
Yeah. Never mind. I'll go back to it once we start watching again.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. Just let me know when you get back there so I can sync up.
Hold on one second. This is kind of a pain to have to sync up like this. Alright. So I'm pausing. I'm back.
Okay, I'm staring at a bulkhead.
And I am staring at a bulkhead. There we go. Right.
You are my son. Yeah. Actually, can you pause for like 2 seconds?
Yes. Okay.
Right. Bye. Yeah, you should be.
It's the doctor and Osmond talking.
Right. So, I think Amy said there that, you know, he's a Time Lord, so he's not going to get converted. Like, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
These are the Daleks who survived me.
That's great. I mean, you see the doctor start to freak out here. He's like, oh, I am so screwed. I'm so usually like on the right, okay? Yeah. Well, special business.
But it won't open. This is the doctor's nightmare. Dalek's closing in.
And my son had pointed out when we watched this the first time that this is the first time that you ever see the doctor, like, visibly scared.
Yeah.
You see him really freaking out. See, and there go the chains. I mean, it's like, they're just there for aesthetics at this point.
That bothered me the first time watching this, honestly. Yeah. No.
It's like, why are you even going to bother chaining them in if they, you know, they don't even spin their wheels trying to get through it. It's just, oh, boom, gone. Yeah. Man. I think that right there was one of the main parts of what made the Daleks scary in this again, is seeing the Doctor so viscerally scared. You never see that, and for him to just, like, completely break down, you're like, wow.
Well, and I think what just happened here, Osmond overrode them and made the Doctor not exist, is going to carry over. It, like, the repercussions are going to be more than we even know right now.
Yeah, and they kind of hint at that throughout the rest of the series.
Yeah, like it affects the rest of the series. I think it'll affect more.
And he sees her. See, I mean, he seems so terrified there. It's like you knew there was something going on, but I guess even this was too much for him to imagine. Yeah. So her dress there is actually displayed in the Doctor Who exhibit in Cardiff.
Yeah?
Yep.
I have a very similar dress.
Yeah, I have to say that I was thrilled that they were able to keep this a secret, that she was in this episode.
Yeah. And then the voice changes to Dalek. So.
And see that always kind of confused me. But before she was being, put through a speaker, so it wasn't that it was actually transmitting her actual voice, it was transmitting a signal that she was sending, and if she thought this is how my voice sounds, then that's how it's going to come out. I understand the reasoning behind telling her, but I'm like, dude, seriously, sugarcoat it a little bit. Gee.
No.
Eggs.
It was never real.
See, that right there with her, like, with all the wires and stuff over her face, that just terrifies me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like a childhood fear realized. See, I mean, the chains aren't even, like, resisting in the slightest. They weren't even tightened.
Chains at all.
They've got one, like, draped over her gun stick. It's like, really?
It's like just draped over the top too, like wrapped around.
It's like, these Daleks are dangerous. Let's chain them down with this cardboard paper.
Why do they pretend we chain them down?
And Nick Briggs really got a workout in this episode doing the voice for all these Daleks, and then for Oswin's Dalek as well.
Yeah.
And she lets him go. And there it is. I mean, there's no way that they can't get around that. Yeah. I mean, that was blatantly looking at the camera. I keep thinking, well, maybe I'm just remembering it differently. But I mean, she's looking dead on at the camera.
Because they did the premiere of this, mm-hmm. and I remember Karen Gillan saying. She was like, in that shot where she looks right down the lens of the camera and so shyly. Everyone noticed that. It's definitely amazing. And I'm watching this episode, I started thinking maybe Oswin is like a later version of Clara. Like maybe Clara travels with the doctor and then some timey-wimey stuff happens and she ends up like this.
That would be brutal. I mean, that would be awesome. That's,
yeah, but it's very...
What the heck do they put in those missiles? Seriously. There are like 12 of them and the planet just like atomizes. Yeah, but I mean, that would be brutal if you lose the pawns the way that we did and then like, if you find out leading up to Jenna Louise Coleman leaving that that's how they were going to play it out. Like, she's going to the Dalek Asylum. Like, that would be harsh.
I mean, it is what it is, though. That's where my theory is now.
Yeah.
The oncoming storm, the Predator. So here we have the Doctor.
He runs through him right there. It's like... Now that I'm hearing it, now that they're like saying it all the time, I'm like, okay, drop the whole Doctor Who thing. We know that's the name of the show. It's not funny anymore. I gotta say, I'm a fan of Cary Gillan's dark eyes there. Yeah.
She has the most amazing skin of anyone I've ever seen. She looks good with makeup, without whatever. And here he is dancing around like a little elf in his car.
If it weren't for the fact that it were like, you know, note for note, just like the pacing and everything verbatim echoing the last episode of Series 6, that would irritate me.
Alright, so is that the end of the episode for you?
Cause now it's going through the next time trailer, so.
I'm gonna have to download this one.
That's gonna be fun. I'm sorry, I mean this, I know it was not one of the greatest ones, but this episode is gonna be fun to rewatch. It really
is. I think it'll be more fun in the rewatch than it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was Asylum of the Daleks.
Yeah. So this is how, basically, now that we've kind of gotten some of the bugs out of the way, hopefully it'll be a little bit smoother sailing when we do Dinosaurs on a Spaceship. But basically, this is how we're going to do it until the Christmas episode of just watching live one episode a week of Series 7.
Yeah, and with... Just to go ahead and clear this up before anybody even asks, we're not going to do a commentary for the Christmas special. We'll be back to our regular format then just to discuss it.
But... Back in the glass case.
Yeah, yeah.
So, well, I mean, this was fun. I love going back and watching. Now that we've gone back to some of the classic stuff and seen that, coming back to the current series is a lot of fun. Yeah, I forgot how much I really do enjoy the show in all of its incarnations. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it like you said, seeing it, the old incarnations of the show, it's like they give us what we need at the time that we need it. So it's, we need Oswin Oswald and the Asylum of the Daleks and Rory and like, you know, at this time in history.
Yeah.
Years ago, we needed Peter Davison and Perry at that time in history. Like, but it's just so fun to, I'm glad that you made me watch those episodes.
You know, it's definitely good to get some of the history on it, but yeah, it's good to be back to the new stuff too.
Yeah. So. And I'm very excited because now, alright, so we've gotten one out of the way. There's only a few more weeks, 5 more episodes or so, I think, until Christmas. So.
Yep. Alright, well, this has been episode 14 of Gallifrey Public Radio, and we will see you guys next week with Dinosaurs on a Spaceship.
We'll see you then. Good night.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Gallifrey Public Radio. Join us each week on iTunes or at gallifreypublicradio.podbean.com. have something you want to say, or just want to say hello, send us an email at gallifreypublicradio@gmail.com, or leave us a comment on iTunes. You can also find us on Twitter, at Gallifrey Radio. You can also find our hosts, at _Melissa, or at @Scoophound. Music by Dan Doodly Doo and Retcon Addict.